Not. Hi, everybody. It's Jay Ryan. Welcome back to the late night playset. We've got a good one for you tonight. We think every guest will be here. We think tonight's guest is here. That's Emmy Hall. She's here. She was scheduled to be here. She's here in her scheduled time. I'm here. Mrs. Ryan is here. She's always here. There's nothing new about that. She's usually here. I'm here. Sean Lee's going to be here, but he's not here yet. No, I don't know where he was supposed to be here on Tuesday, and he had a flat tire up in the canyon. He hit a rock or something with the Z, and the whole rim was busted. Anyway, they were stuck. Couldn't get here. Couldn't call in. He was like, I can do tomorrow. And I was like, well, we're going to be in Palm Springs tomorrow, whatever. And he's like, well, I can do Thursday. And I was like, well, we have Emmy on Thursday. And he felt so bad about it, he just decided to come by anyway. So maybe he'll... I mean, we love you, Sean. Traffic is a bitch in L.A. Anyway, so that's what's going on. We are going to be talking about Audi for sure with Emmy, as well as Rebel stuff, Desert Living. I just found out we're going to be talking about Desert Living. That's new to me. And gosh, anything else? We've got producer Mike on the line up in Canada. He's going to be fielding your questions on the Instagram. Hi there, producer Mike. Can you hear me, Canada Mike? Producer Mike? Maybe not. Maybe we're not actually live. Who knows? Maybe he doesn't have his ear thing. Let's watch this. This could be a good show, actually. Oh, I wonder if we're delaying. Maybe we're on a delay with him. Can you hear me, producer Mike?
I gotcha. Oh. I was listening to the Instagrams and telling people to buy the badges.
Oh, you're such a good guy. So he's got multiple. He's multitasking then at the same time. Is that what's going on? Are you
always
up there on the YouTube and the Instagram?
Yeah, and we're also writing the blurb for tonight's episode. And so we're doing many things with two hands.
Dude, you're. Brain is amazing. I can't do that. I mean, that's why you're here, I guess. Good job. Keep it up. And you are a Pepsi family? Is that what I'm to understand? Because I find that we are running into conflicts left and right. This is a Coca-Cola household.
It's the choice of the new generation, Jay.
Are you a Pepsi-free family?
We enjoy the Pepsi. It is the choice of a new generation, my friend.
Is that everyone in Canada? Is that the popular choice in Canada, or is that just you?
Oh, good heavens, no. But up here we have Coke with maple syrup, so that's nice.
Coke with maple syrup. See, now we're in this country with, I think, the crappy corn syrup, but we buy the Mexican.
No,
syrup,
no, no, sorry.
Which has
sorry.
The pure cane, crappy corn. Pure cane sugar, no, no, no. Which is, you know, good for you and stuff.
Oh, yeah. No, no, no. Don't, no, no. We have the crappy cane sugar up here as well. We just have a maple-flavored Coca-Cola up here.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay. All right. Like a vanilla Coke or a cherry Coke or something like that.
There you go.
I don't think I'd like that. I think that's too much damn sugar shit.
Too much.
Is that too syrupy? How does that?
What is it? I don't know. I don't know, man. I drink
Pepsi. Weird shot. Hey, what's up? Hey, how you doing? That's weird. I'm sorry. Okay, listen, we should start this show up. There's a pretty girl over there. Will is going to say his thing in a second. Wake the neighbors, phone the kids is here. I did that wrong again. Wake the kids, phone the neighbors. Arsenal Detailing is here. 541-944 is here. Lindsay Mensch with a J. Lindsay M. Jesh. Let me Jesh. Thanks for being here, Lindsay. Will, you know what to do.
That's what they need.
And she was thinking we were, I think she was, whatever, doesn't matter. She said a rain curtain, like there's no way they'd actually have that. She's like, oh, I love bubbles falling from the ceiling. It was like, you just wait. We have bubbles falling from the ceiling. Oh, everybody, it's going to be a hell of a night. I can tell you that right now. This blue card didn't, first of all, it stuck to the desk. Can we talk about that? I can't even get it. It is didn't get filled out today. It's been one of those days. Just didn't get to it. Luckily, I think I got to everything else, so we're just going to wing it. We have more than enough guests. We have one for sure. And Tuesday's guest may or may not be here. But Thursday's guest is here. That rest assured, Emmy Hall is our guest tonight. We're going to be talking about rally racing, driving, car journalism, car reviews. She just that electric Audi thing. I only saw the pictures. And here, let
I
me
can't
just
can't wait to tell you about it.
I'm going
to
throw this up just so that people stay tuned. Find out the story behind this. Yeah, doesn't that look fun?
And I didn't even get electrocuted when that happened, too.
Oh, bonus. Bonus. She didn't get electrocuted. So that's what's going on. Mrs. Ryan's here. It is, I got this part on here, Thursday, May 19th, 2022. We're going to call it Tradecraft Thursday because you get your sticky vape there.
Great.
From our friends at Tradecraft.
Thanks.
It's an upper. It's the, I'll tell you right now what it is. Tell you right now what it is. It's a G13 Haze. The mood is open and aware. How do you feel?
Open and aware.
Nailed it. I mean, that's good stuff. Feel free to hit that as often as you want during the show. It is 90.6% THC, which just sounds astronomically high to me. But yet I see you do it, and then you don't get all wacky like you would think somebody would. So it's obviously not too much for you.
It's not for me. My tolerance is the same, but it's really pure. So it doesn't affect systems that are bogged down with toxins.
Oh. Because there's no ancillary extra stuff in there that because it's only... It's been isolated. It's been rendered.
There's nothing bad to attach.
The contaminants have been
filtered.
Filtered. Filtered is the word, right?
Filtered. Yeah.
It's been processed in some way. It's been strained. It's been colonnaded. Colandered. Colandered. Well, there's nothing on the card, so I have to make words up. You understand? The hellos I have are just that Sean Lee will be here, and if you're confused about the what and why there's two guests tonight, if you were with us on Tuesday, Sean Lee was supposed to be here. He was going to bring the new Z. He had it with him. It was like Z week. It was really exciting. It all seemed like it would work out great. He of course was on a canyon run before the show, and whatever, flat tire or something. He sent me a picture. The rim was all fucked up. They were stuck up there. So that's where he was. But he felt really bad, and he really wanted to come in. So. Tony, for a third time, what's going on here? I've told Emmy, I've told Instagram, I think I told the stand-up part, and now I'm telling you from the desk. Mrs. Ryan's here. How are you feeling with the MS and stuff?
I mean, I felt like I normally did until about a half hour ago, and then it took a dive.
What happened?
I don't know. My legs stopped working, but nothing out of the ordinary
I don't know about
was
that.
Done.
I don't know about that. Well, I'm just trying to think. A couple hours ago, you had like some cake and some sweets and some like sugary things that may or may not be good for the MS. I'm trying to see if like, oh, 2 hours later, you took a dive. Like, well, that might make sense, right? Like a sugar crash on top of.
That could be part of it. I mean, digestion of anything slows me down, but I did a lot this morning.
But don't they, theoretically, isn't like sweet stuff bad for the MS because of the
but
it's
bad. We also have no appetite, so it's
you need the calories somehow.
You need the calories. You need. I would eat all day if I eat healthy food, and that's not.
That's
realistic.
True because we'll buy chicken breasts and stuff, but they go. It's not like you eat it.
I can't.
You eat like one big meal a day. One small meal and
I can't stand anymore, so grazing is out, and I used to do that all the time.
Well, don't say that because like people are here, we could make you plates throughout the day. I mean, that don't make that the problem
for me. Like, I'm yes, and I don't ask because You do so much. And it's like,
here we go. Here comes the halo.
You're here. Like, I don't want you to have to do anything, but it's like so much to ask anyone to do anything at the help of what. Yeah, here, live
but
my
when it
life.
Comes to, hey, you know what? I want some food. I think maybe that can go to the top of the
hey,
list.
Hey, do you want to make me food du grand for all day, every day?
We'll like, come up with a system. That's what we do. Look, we didn't think we'd be. Look at us. 10 years ago, for sure, but even 5 years ago, and go like, oh yeah, by the way, in a couple of years, your life's going to be like this. We would have been like, I don't think you're right about that. We couldn't handle that. There's no way we'd be able to do that, so you must be wrong. And here we are. We handle it every day. I talked to an old friend last night, Sean Bishop, the one we built the DeLorean, the time machine with, and the Ghostbusters car with and stuff. He's going to do the show soon. Actually, he may do it with Pauly Shore, because he wrote that movie that was the number one downloaded movie on Netflix last year, the Guest House. He ended up writing that. And Sean Sam Macaroni directed. Yes, exactly. So anyway, whatever. On and on and on. Anyway, what the shit was I saying before that? Wow. Too deep. Well, where do we start?
So Emmy, help me. Your a phone 10 call. Years ago, you didn't think you would.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
The fact that I remember that is pretty amazing as well. But now I want to hear what?
Well, here comes the major disappointment. I probably wasn't even going anywhere. I was just ramble. Seems like he's going to say something prolific. Not. I don't know, but we never would have, we would not have believed that we would be handling the things that we do today. And Sean was like, oh man, this all, there we go. Sean, somebody who doesn't know our life now, couldn't believe some of the things that, you know, we kind of have to deal with on a daily basis. When I say kind of, I mean the way we live 100% of the time, 24/7. And he was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. You know, the fact that you have to deal with it, you know, he's all taking it in for the first time, all in one wave. And it really sort of made me see it through other people's eyes for the first time. And it was like, all right, I guess that's your perspective, but ours is, we're just doing it. So I think the fact that you're here doing it with the people, I mean, that's amazing. And just the fact that you do get up every day and the fact that you do get dressed every day, whether you're going someplace or not, you know, all that stuff, I think... How do you feel successful? What makes you feel good about yourself? I know this is deep. What makes you feel good about yourself? Like having completed the day and you go, oh, I'm going to sleep tonight. And I'm going to go, okay, I can go to bed knowing that I accomplished that or that I was this or that. You know what I mean? How do you feel fulfilled at the end of your day these days?
Being able to be of solace to someone that needs it. That's so needed, and it's so rare, so I love that I have an excuse to offer that.
It's beautiful. Do you think that you probably are way more successful at that than you might realize?
I hope.
Like, you're probably touching people all the time that you don't even know through Instagram posts, through this show, through talking to people at Breakfast Club or wherever we are.
I hope.
We'll put a pin in that then, I guess.
I'm not good at interacting with people. I'm still figuring that out. My timing is ridiculous. So I'm cautious, but...
All right. Well, just keep in mind, you're probably doing really good stuff just by being you.
Thanks.
So maybe take some of the pressure off. I feel like you put a lot of pressure on yourself. We all do, but I feel like you really do.
I do, but it's normal for me to do that.
No, it's old normal. There's a whole new normal. Haven't you heard?
Yeah.
Everybody's doing a whole new normal.
It's what I know, so I need to step outside more. I'm working on it.
The good news is Sean Lee has just arrived and is looking for parking.
Great.
With that, we should probably get our our actual featured guest in here because I don't have shit to talk about. There's nothing on the card. Got to do the commercials, which means that it is time for me to tell you that the rumor is they say all which separates men and boys is the coverage for their toys. What types of toys are we talking about today, Nicole?
Collector cars and businesses and homes and stuff.
What's that?
Collector cars. Collector cars and businesses.
That's right. All those things. That's right. Obviously, we talk about collector cars here a lot because we talk about cars here a lot. And a lot of our viewers have collections of cars. But gosh, if you think about what has to house those cars, your garages, your home, your business that supports the collection, not just cars, other things that are collectible, anything of value, whatever requires insurance. Let's start there. St. Clair Insurance is licensed in most states and shops top providers so you get the best coverage for your toys. We talk about Hagerty a lot on this show just because, I guess Hagerty is pretty big in the car business these days. But they do shop all of the top providers, so you don't have to just be shopping for Hagerty. Some people don't want Hagerty. Some people don't have a car that qualifies for Hagerty.
If you don't have a car, there's a totally different
That's right. You might want to insure your jet ski or your bulldozer or your helicopter.
You never know what's available.
If you got a ride-on lawnmower, for sure. Leaf blower, snow blower, any kind of blower, really.
Yeah.
If you have some sort of limited edition hair dryer, I can't imagine that sort of thing exists, but maybe it was Elvis's hair dryer. Oh, that's probably valuable. You want to insure that sucker.
Probably valuable. I'm sure my groomer friends know.
Oh, we're working on that, by the way. We're going to get your haircut on the show. Nicole, Mrs. I don't know what to call you these days. I mean, we called the character was Mrs. Ryan forever, but you are yourself. I mean, you are your own person again. We're trying to get you out of your shell anyway. And so I don't know. What do you want your name to be? You could be anything you want.
Nicole's fine.
You could have said Frankenstein. You could have said Madison, like from Splash.
I know, but I'll forget it. Like, I just know
I am
this
Tom.
One. Bad enough.
Forgetful Lucy?
It's my grandmother.
Oh, that's right. That's right. All right. If you want to check out the wonderful coverage over at St. Clair Insurance, like we highly recommend you do, simply go to www.coverageforyourtoys.com. Coverageforyourtoys.com.
Coverageforyourtoys.com.
And tell Jeff St. Clair that Nicole says hello because...
I can't. Always.
All right, now it's time to talk about our buddy Taylor over at Series One Films. This episode has been brought to you in part by Series One Films. Series One Films helps automotive brands create engaging cinematic content for social media and advertising to grab and hold your ideal customer's attention. Check them out at SeriesOneFilms.com. SeriesOneFilms.com.
SeriesOneFilms.com.
And that one is a number one. Now that that's out of the way, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention our friends at Auto Kennel. Shop smart, better call Paul, as well as our family over at TLG. Get your Porsche some TLC. Come on home to TLG. TLG, come on home. Say hi to Marco. Marco, by the way, is very busy. If he wasn't busy enough before, he is now the chief, what do you call that? The pit crew chief for the Burt Kreischer, Tom Segura racing team. the Two Bears racing team. Thanks to Matt and the Smoking Tire, somehow they all just kind of, I think a joke became a funny idea, became a bit, became, wow, they are legitimately putting money into an actual racing team. Did you hear about this?
It's
ridiculous.
Really cool. It's a neat collab that I didn't think would happen.
Yeah, I know.
I'm interested to see what's going to happen.
It's going to be awesome. Those guys are hilarious. Let's see. Producer Mike, what's going on? Is there anything going on Instagram that we should talk about before we get our guest in here?
Oh, it's a show within a show, my friend. It's going very, very well.
as long as you're hosting the other show, we're fine.
It's not so much me. Producer Ariel is holding court, and many good people are buying badges, and a lot of love and support for the show. And that moment where you two were talking about, where you talked about the Halo moment, the consensus is, of course, you both are fucking amazing. So there you go.
Well, people don't know what they're talking about. Nothing new in that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. If anybody doesn't know, producer Ariel is actually sitting while we do this show. All the other late night shows do their tapings as well. So like Reggie is over at James Corden right now while we're doing this. Ariel works for ABC and she is the whatever specialist for COVID or whatever the heck. But she sits at Kimmel during his show. So she's here sitting in the Kimmel studio running our Instagram. And then we've got Canadian Mike up in Canada running the chat as well as helping us run this show and everything all at the same time.
On location from the Letterman podcast studio, actually. Yes.
literally. So everything is just kind of all over the place. So the fact that I don't have a blue card, I don't even care. Sean Lee has been looking for parking for a while. We'll figure that out. I don't know. We're going to take a quick break while you listen to these brief but very entertaining words from Oh So Delicious Hot Sauce. The hot sauce, Mrs. Ryan.
Made by bears.
Made by bears.
Oh, so delicious. It's the hot sauce made by bears. Garlic and serrano mixed with love and care. You can put it on your eggs, pour it on your rice. It's great on a leg, it's better on a slice. It's oh, so delicious. It's the hot sauce made by bears. Oh, so delicious hot sauce. Great on everything except oatmeal.
Get your bottle today at osodelicious.org. $1 from every bottle sold goes to the National Military Family Association.
I'm Johnny Lieberman, and you're watching LMP. What does LMP stand for?
Late Night Playset.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I've been on there. Yeah, good show. You should like and subscribe. Like and subscribe.
No, but I love that.
There you go.
What are you driving today? 63-356B.
Hey, 111.
What are you driving today?
Here we go. Oh, this is fun, David.
Thumbs up for sure.
This just proves that you don't have to go fast to have fun.
You don't have to go fast. Can you see my smile already?
Okay, I'm impressed.
You don't need to stick it. He's already got it. My car's going to feel slow as balls after this, I'll tell you that.
Pedal down. Yeah, baby.
I mean, I have a really loud voice, though, so sometimes I don't need a microphone.
That's true. I'll turn you down a little. That's a really good point.
Yeah, I'm very loud.
And don't worry about that.
Yeah.
That looks
How
good.
About now? Today for breakfast, I had 6 Diet Dr. Peppers. Does that work?
This woman's tested microphone equipment. She knows what she's doing.
Got to do the old breakfast check, man.
All right. I'm excited. You were the guest that was booked today. You showed up on time.
I know, on time.
Hall.
Almost even early, which is pretty amazing.
I'm so excited to see you. Just for everybody else, we first met at I don't even know if you remember this.
Yeah, at Smoke and Tire.
Oh, you do? Okay,
yeah,
great.
Yeah, yeah.
I was filling in for Zach one day, and both Lynn Woodward and you guys, you were both... Did you both do Rebel Rally together?
Yeah. No, not together. We haven't been teammates before. So
but you were both on it and talking about it.
Yes. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And they were just both super cool. And Lynn, we kept in touch with. I think she came up to Breakfast Club or something. And you kind of just reached out Instagram back and forth. And you were like, I'd love to do it. And I was like, please come on.
Yay! And now here I am. And like, oh, dreams come true. We have visualized it. And now we are here making it happen.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I know. And any second, Sean Lee's going to crash the whole thing.
I'm so excited for this.
For his Tuesday
Sean
appearance.
Wait, the door just opened. I just saw sunlight.
Oh, this could be. Okay, is
wait,
it really
is
happening?
Is he here? Is he here?
It might be happening.
Is it? Sean Lee. And he brought a dog. Are you
is
kidding
Pon-Pon
me?
Is here? Hi, Pon-Pon. Hi, buddy.
Hi.
Come on in.
Made it.
I'm sure
Hi,
you're
buddy.
Lucky, but your dog.
Oh, yeah. He loves people.
Do you want a minute to restroom up and do the thing, or do you want to just have a seat?
I can just have a seat for now.
All right.
Okay.
Well, you make yourself comfortable. There's a water there for you.
We'll go through that later.
Oh, well, that's fantastic. Even better.
Oh, yeah, you're
and
better.
And then the only thing is we'll just maybe... if you're going to hang on to him, great. Otherwise, I'll shut the green room door where the cat
look
is probably
how
hiding.
Cute that you have a cat, too? Oh, my God.
22-year-old kitty cat.
Oh, I got to say hi to that cat before I leave.
Fine.
Hi, I'm Emmy.
Hey.
Sean, nice to meet you.
Pull your mic up when you're ready. This is hilarious. This is hilarious. So it's a party show.
It's awesome. It's always a party show.
Party show with dogs. Party show with cats. I love it.
You missed nothing. There was nothing on the card, so we just had some heart-to-heart conversation in the beginning. We're sorry you weren't here on Tuesday. I had my Pura shirt on Tuesday.
Oh. Sorry, man. It was...
Was it you who hit the rock, or was it somebody else?
It was a good friend. So on the way up, hit a rock, but we finish a loop. When we get down from the loop... I don't see him. He's one of my best friends. I go ask the guy who's actually driving with us. Go, where's the silver Porsche? What happened to it? Oh, he hit a rock. He pulled over by the side of the road. So if you're in the canyon, you know you're pretty deep in the canyon. You have flat tire, and there's no reception.
No.
And he didn't have a spare or anything?
No, he doesn't. No. It was pretty bad hit. So the whole tire wall was ripping to pieces.
But the rim would look cracked too, wasn't it?
Well, yeah,
cracked.
But don't you have a spare tire on a wheel?
No, he doesn't. He's a 911, so it comes with
Oh,
that.
Yeah, you would have his, of course. She's like, no, they're generally mounted on the
wheels.
Rim.
I was like, yeah. Is that how that works?
911 comes with just a bottle of the goo, and so it's a fixer flat. So.
Yeah. I mean, I've had those. I once got a flat tire on a run flat in a BMW, and I'm like, that was the biggest pain in the ass ever trying to get that thing fixed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was terrible. It was terrible. I was
what
like,
kind of BMW was it?
I don't know. Some like grand, one of those weird GT.
Oh, like a newer one.
Yeah.
Grand Sport.
One. Yeah. The GT something. They only had them for a while. Yeah. Yeah, like the coupe over, not really a coupe.
That
yeah,
was the
it
worst
was
looking
terrible,
BMW
it was
ever.
A terrible,
that was
terrible thing.
Really
yeah.
not a good looking car.
No, it was awful.
It was the 5 Gran Turismo or something like that.
Oh,
five
yeah, I remember
Grand,
that car.
Grand
looks like an SUV, but it
but
has
it's
a,
not really.
Yeah, yeah,
bubble.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of cars doing a version of that now that are kind of acceptable. That one was just not attractive.
Yeah.
You put one corner of it's out of his misery.
It was bad. Yeah, but it was like a 3-day fix, and I was like, if I had a spare tire, I could fix this in 15 minutes, but instead it takes me 3 days.
Was it because of the rim or just the run flat itself?
Because it was all-wheel drive, so I had to get a specific tire. Like, I couldn't just, like, you know, move stuff around, so I had to get a specific tire, and it had to be ordered, so I couldn't just, like, go to America's Tire or, you know, whatever and get that. And then I was in a canyon up in Northern California, and it was, I think, Saturday, like, late afternoon, so I had to get towed out to a BMW dealership, and then nothing was open on Sunday, so then I couldn't get it fixed until Monday. I mean, it was just stupid, and I'm like, I literally could change this tire in 10 minutes if you would just give me a tire. And I couldn't, do a fix-a-flat thing because I had gouged, like, the inside. It would just, like, rip the sidewall out because I hit a pothole really bad. Yeah. So anyway.
Good grief.
I know.
Well, you know, tires must be a thing. I mean, you do actual, like, off-road rallies. When we talk about rallies like Paul Kennel and us, we're doing, like, the Targa California and stuff like that. I mean, you're genuinely in off-road vehicles in places, like, far from civilization.
Yeah.
What happens then when you blow a tire?
So you have to obviously change it yourself. I am far from a mechanic. So I like the person. My ideal co-driver is, like, a 90-pound Volkswagen mechanic. That's what I want. So if there are any 90-pound Volkswagen mechanics out there.
Lightweight for race readiness.
Yeah.
Because he's got to ride with.
Exactly. So I just want, like a 13-year-old Volkswagen mechanic that can ride race seat with me. Because something happens to the car, and like if I've had that problem before, then I can probably diagnose it. But if it's a new thing, I'm like, I don't know. You know, so the last race I did, we call them golf carts, but they're UTVs, you know, side by sides, but they're just souped up golf carts. Yeah. Anyway, and I was not having a good race, and I was kind of in my head, and I didn't really want to pass, but that car was in a slower class than me, and I was like, I have to actually pass this person. So we had this, like, push-to-pass button thing. So I press the push-to-pass, and that sends a signal to the car in front that says, like, hey, there's someone behind you. Yeah,
we want that in real – I want that, like, in everyday.
No, it's – yeah. It's great. And then they send a signal back that says, like –
intentions to someone, you know?
Yeah, and then they push a button that sends a signal back to you that says, like, okay, we know you're
there. Middle finger emoji, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, but what happened was is I was close like this, and we sent the push-to-pass, and – honestly, to be honest with you, I don't know if they ever accepted the pass or not. I really don't know. But I do know that this...
Emmy's on the move!
That the driver just hard brake checked me, and I went, whoop! And I drove over my passenger front, went over her driver rear.
Rear, yeah.
And that was... And then swung me around 90 degrees, and then I'm just sitting in this long stretch, which I know the trophy trucks are coming, and they're going to be coming at 100 miles an hour, and I'm like, I am going to die today! So it was just a matter of, like, trying to get up the course and slow people down while the co-drivers are, like, trying to MacGyver this thing out. Yeah, we were tangled up for probably 45 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Holy crap. And then the driver becomes the flagman for the fix-it team out
there. Exactly. Because I'm like, I'm not going to add anything to this. Like, I don't know. Physics is how you're going to solve this problem. Literally, I don't know. And the one thing that I can do is help them do their job, and that's by slowing cars down so that they don't die.
I'm serious.
You know, like that. I'm like, that's what I can do in this situation. So, but yeah, we got tangled up. And I think what we did was we had to basically deflate the tire, get it off of the bead.
Sure.
And then kind of like jack up the rear and then move it over, jack up the rear, move it over. So they were like jacking it up and then having it fall off the jack to get it so that it was a little bit more parallel. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was nuts. It was nuts.
We were talking just before the show and like, say the whole wheel comes off. You've seen them do what?
Oh yeah. So you attach a log or something just to keep your car up and then just like drag that log for however long. I've seen people finish races in reverse. You know,
I saw a guy go down the crest in a Porsche 911 in reverse the other day because his transmission went out halfway up to Breakfast Club, and he had another one going down the right way, you know, behind him. But it was two 911s going forward and backward.
Really?
Yeah, classic 911s.
That's amazing.
It's hilarious.
Oh my God!
The video on Instagram is quite funny.
Yeah, I've seen.
But the log I would love to see, because they did something like that on Top Gear or something once. But we were talking about the old leaf spring suspension. That's kind of almost sort of how they were built, designed. So if you had something in there just to keep the chassis off the ground, theoretically, and it's not a drive wheel, your drive wheels are pulling you along.
Yeah, yeah. Or you just have, you know, you just have an open diff or whatever. So even if you have, even if it is a rear wheel, it's just going to throw all the power to the one that actually is working.
Right.
So.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I still don't want to be the guy that has to attach a log to my car to get to the finish line.
I know, but, like, you got to do what you got to do, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, unfortunately, like, most of my mishaps have not been we have to attach a log to our car. Most of my stuff have been things where it's like, okay, we blew up the transmission. Like, you're not going to go anywhere, you know?
Oh.
Yeah.
That's catastrophic.
Yeah, I've done that.
Something going on up there? You guys okay in Canada?
I was just writing down the quote, I don't want to be the guy that attaches a log to my car.
Oh, okay. But did we hear that somehow up there in Canada? We heard it here.
I was muted.
The look of panic on his face.
Can you hear me?
I didn't mean
can you hear me right now? Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes,
can you hear
me?
Can you hear me? Really?
Yes.
God damn it.
So he thought he was on mute. So I was right. We did hear
him. You're on mute right now, God damn it. Look.
Let me tell you something. You're not coming through your good mic there. You're coming through something else. There's some sort of room mic that we're coming. This is great.
Oh,
everybody's
sorry.
Here for the rehearsal.
Oh, wait, there we go.
It.
There we go.
Hilarious.
Okay, now he's silent.
All right.
Sorry, guys.
He's still there. There he is. I'm going to mute you from here. How's that? I don't want to do that, though, because if you want to chime in, I want you to. But just be quiet in the meantime. How's that? But he's got, all right, whatever. I can't produce two countries at once. you both have had some interesting new mark car experiences lately. You in the Audi and you in the Z. I want to talk about both,
yes.
But I have pictures of the Audi. So can we start there?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right. I'm going to do the one we teased with before, which is, look at that shot. Oh, wow. What is this car? Who's driving?
Okay, so I am driving. That is Audi's Dakar vehicle, which is, I don't want to say it's electric, but it is powered by electricity. Or it is motivated by electricity. Let me put it that way. So they have I'm pretty sure it's the 2-liter four-banger turbo. And that basically powers, acts as a generator. So they can fill it up with gas. And that then, like, you know, goes through engineering magic, and then that will charge up the battery, and then what actually powers the vehicle are electric motors. So because for Dakar, because those stages are so long, you can't charge a battery. It's just you're never going to be competitive. So the way they solved that was, well, yeah, but we can dump 50 gallons of fuel in 10 seconds,
sure.
You know. So they were, so it's really, 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 really complex. But the
again,
motivational
it's
power.
Gears.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, this makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's.
I don't know if it's practical in everyday use.
No, it's not practical in there. I mean, but it's like the old Chevy Volt.
Right.
Right. That's all true. It is a souped-up Chevy Volt. Which, sorry, Audi.
Sorry,
that's
Audi.
Not what it means. Woo! There was a lot more than
you
that.
You heard it here first, folks.
Yeah. Except the Volt, I think, was also a hybrid where at times it was actually using the gas motor.
Yes.
This never uses the gas motor. And what it does, or the gas engine.
It's solely electric motivated.
Motor engine. It's like interchangeable, but not.
Would that be gasoline motivated assist?
I don't know. But when if so like while we're driving this thing, the co-driver was like, okay, well, I'm gonna turn on the engine so you can hear how that runs while charging the battery. And I'm like, okay. And he turns it on and it's just like, it's not connected to your foot, right? Like you think it's gonna be connected. It's not at all. It's just like a standard RPM at like 5,500 or 6,000 RPM or something like that. So right away I'm like, turn that shit off. That is a terrible sound.
It's not terrible. Like it's not it doesn't idle.
No, it doesn't idle. So you could be like slowing for a turn or something and like lifting and it's still not. But then you have like the sound of the electric motors that are kind of like coming into the cabin a little bit. So you can kind of judge off of that, but like not really. So it was a weird experience. And
I kind of like the sound of some of those electric corners.
Me
like
too.
The Porsche race cars
me
and stuff.
Me too. I think it
that.
Looks really, I think it sounds really, really good. But on this one, they, so you can have regen in this vehicle, but they had turned it off for us, which I was actually looking forward to seeing how regen would work where you're really getting it in the dirt. Because my previous experience with electric in the dirt has just been the Rivian R1T, which is like, it's great, but we're not out there like racing it. We're out there on a, on a navigational rally where we're like really trying to take care of the truck. This I knew we could go a little bit faster and we could have a little bit of fun. And because
it's built to take it.
Yeah, exactly. And because they didn't have any regen on, it was like, oh, well, I guess I'll just left foot brake again. Like, this is just like driving a normal, because I didn't.
So
I lifted,
could fling it around a little more, hot rod it a little.
Yeah. And I had never driven a vehicle with so much travel. Like, all of my desert race cars have been like 9 inches of travel or like 8 inches of travel.
What did you have when you went up and over that wheel? Because unless you launched, you must have had some sort of travel when you went up and over that.
No, I just drove over that.
Oh, that must have been scary.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Sorry. Okay. So go ahead. Yeah. Travel.
Yeah. So, and this one, you know, it's, I don't know, like 18, 20 inches of travel, something like that. So, and it's real soft because it's for off-road. So it was so much body roll. And like that was interesting to get used to, like knowing like, okay, where can I start applying the throttle to get it to turn
to
more
rotate,
in the turns,
yeah,
without like upsetting the car because it's already like, ah, you know. So it took me, you know, a couple of laps to get that, and I only got 3 laps. I flew all the way to Sardinia. We flew to Sardinia and I got a sight lap, 3 hot laps, and an out lap.
Well, they don't want you to get good at it yet.
And there was a jump and they didn't let us take it.
What's going on inside here? Is there anything you can tell us about with all this?
Yeah, okay.
A lot of buttons, a lot of screen
There's
buttons.
A lot of buttons. So the top thing is you can see your drive. You know, it tells you what gear you're in, and basically you have neutral, reverse, and forward.
Right.
That's all you have. And then there's information about tire pressures, battery state, all of that kind of stuff. And then at the bottom, those are all basically buttons for the co-driver. So it'll be like. Turn like comms. They have an air conditioning system, so getting the AC on. I can't remember what all is there. Lights, things like that.
Is it remotely comfortable? I mean, the soft suspension probably helps a little bit.
I drove for 3 laps, dude. Like on an autocross course, like a rally cross course. There were no rocks. There was nothing. It wasn't. There were no whoops. It was.
They carpeted it for you.
It was very. I mean, the driving was not difficult. Let's put it that way. I didn't look at anything and go, "You're out of your mind." I'm not doing that. You know, no, there was nothing like that.
But this thing is already competitive, or it will be competitive?
It is already competitive. So they raced in the Dakar this past year. They had 3 teams of like not crappy drivers. They had Stefan Petterhensel, who is like Mr. Dick Dakar, and his regular navigator.
Mr. Dick Dakar? Is that
Mr. Dakar. He's won like 14 times or something. And then Carlos Sainz. And I should know their navigator's name because navigators win or lose rallies. And of course I don't because I'm a terrible person. And then the Swedish team. But the Swedish team, I do know the navigator because he was the one that showed up because the driver had a family emergency and he couldn't show up. So Emil Berkovist was their the navigator for that team. And at the end, out of those 3 teams, somebody won a stage. I think it was Carlos Sainz won a stage. But Emil and his driver, they came in best with a top 10 finish. Wow. Yeah, and it was the first time they'd ever run that car. And they built the car in like 10 months or something. I mean, it was a very, very accelerated timeline.
This is all impressive.
Isn't that cool?
I mean, yeah, I love stuff like this. Yeah. I love where you have to kind of think on the fly and, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they're shit a little bit. I kind of dig it.
And they're
I love winging it.
Their engineers were just like, yeah, I mean, we just decided to go for it. So we built it in 10 months. I'm like, oh, my God.
That's amazing.
And then they built three of them.
Good grief.
Yeah, yeah.
And do you, I mean, you can't really tell from the thing, but logically, it seems like, oh, that could be the future for electric racing.
Yeah, like you that. Either have to have, you have to do something like that, or you have to have swappable batteries.
Right.
So there's actually a team, a grassroots team, that does King of the Hammers.
Oh.
And yeah, and they've done it now in an electric in an electric vehicle. It's an old shitbox 4Runner that they have made into an electric vehicle. I think they used a Nissan Leaf.
You want to be up here on the desk, Pon Pon?
Nope.
Oh.
Let me just lay out a pad.
Okay.
I think it was a Leaf motor and batteries the first year they did it. Anyway, but it's all electric that they've done on their own. They have figured out a swappable battery system where they have, because those batteries are super heavy, right?
Right.
So they have them like on this zip line. So the truck backs up to the trailer and then they have like people taking out these batteries, and then they have these.
Oh, the other one flies in.
They have one, another one that flies in, and it like locks into this little like locking inning
just
thing.
Paraglides in.
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
Into the...
And then it's all like one plug, and they can change. They can swap out two batteries in like, I think they did it in like 10 or 12 minutes.
Because it's just a harness, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They just have everything wind up to the harness. Yeah, yeah. So that team is led by Kyle Seglin, and their stuff is. It's really cool.
Is that legal? Like, how do the rules factor in here? Because, like, you know, you're allowed to add fuel, change
yeah,
fuel, but
yeah,
you're,
yeah.
Sometimes you're not allowed to add certain parts or certain components.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, for King of the Hammers, they were obviously a class of one.
Right.
But coming up this next year, which will be in end of January, early February, they are doing a spec EV class, and they're going to have 10 racers.
Ooh.
And basically, they're just giving them the motor and the battery. I'm assuming they're giving them the batteries, too, and saying, build it.
Okay, power plant and
power plant and batteries, but then you can build anything else
it.
Around that. Yeah, so like, I'm super excited about that.
What people are going to do is going to
be
crazy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they've got like great off-road teams that are in that. So Kyle and his team are doing it. Bailey Campbell and her team, like they've been, you know, her family is really big into King of the Hammers, and they've won and podiumed like many, many, many times. So they're going to have 10 teams for that. So I'm
wow.
just like, what? Amazing.
I can't wait. When is that?
End of January, early February.
I'm going to be racing too. What?
In that.
Now I really want to go.
Yes.
Come on, tell me.
Yes. So, well, I don't know.
Oh, you
maybe
can't
I'm
say
not
yet.
Supposed to talk about it.
Stay tuned on that.
Yeah, I might be.
Put another pin in it.
Oops. Emmy likes to talk.
That's hilarious. Oh, Pon Pon, it's so nice to see you. So Sean had a dog that for years and years, Bobo, that was as famous as he is, and Bobo's been here on the show, and this is the first time Pon Pon's been on the show.
It's only yesterday. He just turned 5 months.
5 months?
Yeah.
But you got him right away.
Yeah, so I got my 8 weeks, so I only had him for 2 months.
Wow.
It's 3 months now.
He's so cute. And he's a Labradoodle?
No, he's actually just a poodle.
Oh, poodle, okay.
Yeah. So
is he not a standard?
No.
He's
gonna be immense. Just about the same size as Bobo.
Oh, okay.
But the thing is,
he's so cute.
I know, I'm dying.
This makes my
Doveries go crazy.
So Bobo passed away because old age, right? So I used to, every time we do charity delivery, Bobo's always there with me.
Yes.
So there was this actually a lady that she runs she used to suffer autism, so she runs a agency called OC Autism.
I don't know what that is.
So she's specializing in helping.
I want you to be comfortable here, so here you go.
Pom-pom. So she runs that place, and she helped underprivileged family that actually has kids that suffer autism.
Yeah.
And you know, and I don't know that she actually breeds poodle and give it away.
Wow.
So when I deliver toys and school supplies, and to them, of course she asks, "Where's Bobo?"
Bobo?
Yeah, and she goes. I told her Bobo passed away, and she goes, come to my house next week. And there's like 10 poodles running around, and he was one of them, keep on running to me. And that's when she says, you got to have another dog. Here.
Oh, that's so nice.
She just gave him to you.
That's
yeah,
awesome.
She just says, I need a dog in my life.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
Oh, man.
He's a very, very a people person. He just wants to be around people.
Yes, you can have so many adventures with this dog.
Yeah.
Bobo's Instagram is still up. I still follow it. Yeah. He was quite a traveler. Pompon's going to travel too.
Aww. He's already did a lot.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did Pompon ride in the new Z?
Yes.
Should we talk about the new Z?
Yes,
sure.
Yes.
Other than somebody else's incident, not in the new Z as it turns out, how was the car?
The car is actually excellent cars. I'm saying from a very biased point, not because I'm close to Nissan, right? And a lot of people compare it to Supra. Supra is very digital. It's more like the modern GT3. They're fast, they're a great car, they're just very digital. But this car was built on an older 370Z platform. They reinforced the chassis, and it's 80% brand new. Everything else on the car is brand new. It's got a brand new twin turbo engines. The first time being put in a Z. Puts out 400 horsepower, 350 foot-pound of torque, 0 to 60 right around about 4 seconds. Respectful. I mean, it's really, really good numbers. And
yeah, and you haven't even gotten to the price yet.
Yeah, $39,000 to start.
Starts
it undercuts
$40,000.
The Superbike Supra quite a lot, right?
By $16,000.
Holy crap!
It's not even, it's not even funny.
Like,
yeah, it's not even funny.
So here's the thing. So the Toyota car, I own a Supra too, and I was actually helping before the Supra. We talked Toyota quite often before the Supra was launched. And you got something about Supra? You don't like it? it's not from me. It's not from me. It's him. So the car is very digital. It's electronic suspensions, mm-hmm. and it's also got an automatic transmission. So the Z actually offers automatic transmission at no extra charge. That's why it's crazy. Yeah, $39,000. You want to opt for the auto?
It should at least be a $1,000 option. That's hilarious.
I know.
Yeah, and they offer at the same price. Standard was actually a 6-speed transmissions. And the automatic transmission they sourced from Mercedes, a Genco transmissions.
Really?
Like
the 9-speed?
That's great transmission.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
For free.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, you want the stick.
I mean,
in that
you want
car,
the
though.
Stick, absolutely. But if for some reason you don't have the use of both your legs, then like that's fine. That's the only way that you can get an automatic. In my book, that's the only way that you can get an automatic is if you don't have the use of both your legs.
The automatic tuner actually really, really good. I mean, I was surprised how good the automatic handles on the track. They actually gave us the press car, and we went on a racetrack, and then we spent about 7 to 8 hours in the car.
And you guys
went
were
to
in
Vegas,
Vegas,
right?
We're in Vegas, yeah.
Jinx. Yeah, I have not driven it, and I didn't go on that trip. But I read so many people's reviews, and everyone's like, "This thing is the shit!" Like everybody really, really loves it
for
so,
the drive.
Yeah,
I agree. Yeah,
yeah
I haven't
excited.
Driven it either. But just looks wise, it was getting a lot of controversy from the looks, and they had a couple of them up at Breakfast Club. That kind of yellow mustardy color.
Yeah.
We thought they were beautiful. I mean, unanimously, we all thought they were beautiful. Like, we really loved it in person. So I don't know what the hell people are complaining about.
I don't know.
I think people will find something to complain about.
Well, I don't like the front.
Here we go.
No, but it's not even the grill. I don't like the headlights. I don't like that headlight shape at all.
I would agree it's not lovely, but it's a great homage to what was there. I don't know how to do it in another way because that shape is what was there.
But the butt is amazing. Those taillights are great, and I want to see something with louvers. You know there's got to be louvers on that thing.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
The taillights are actually a remake of the 300ZX twin turbo taillights.
Yeah.
So I'm glad I'm able to work with Alfonso and Tamura-san, Hiroshi Tamura, on this particular car. It's been an amazing journey knowing that when I see on a piece of paper until to see it coming out.
You've known about this for a long time.
For a long time.
How hard was it to not talk about it?
Very, very hard. Because people see this picture, me and them together.
Yeah.
They're going to go like, now everybody out there knows, like, I've been holding a secret for a long time. They're not going to like me about that anymore. Is everybody asking, do you know anything? No, I don't know anything.
So did you consult with them? Or, like, what was your job for...
I'm more like a friend of the brand.
Okay.
And being very, very close with Nissan.
You're a friend of most brands these days, but go ahead.
but Nissan's much closer than usual because this particular project. And able to see it from a piece of paper till now it become actually in front of you and you're able to drive it and enjoy a moment with it. It's like having a baby and now the baby comes out and like, I finally drove the car the way I want to drive it, and I finally gave it my stamp approval just like yesterday. It was an amazing car. And imagine the Supra you have, European powertrain, and but yeah, you have a problem finding sourcing parts and mm-hmm. people that modify it. But this car, you don't anything JDM, HKS, Greddy, or Apex, any of those brands, you can just buy stuff and bolts right in.
That's so cool.
That's awesome.
I mean, that's really the old. That's how it was when we were younger playing with these
cars.
What
do you mean? I'm still young.
Sorry, I mean, but when we were playing with these cars, it was like that.
Yeah, and you phone.
Go to the catalog, get the thing, wait for it to arrive.
Yeah, you have phone.
Call your friends over to the garage. We're gonna put it on.
Yeah,
louvers. Come on, everybody, Sunday louvers.
Exactly. You finally have a JDM brand that actually can bolt on all the JDM parts. And have fun with it and enjoy the car. And the car is very mechanical. The mechanical grip on extremely, extremely high. And throughout the whole time I was driving it, the interference from the traction control is virtually none.
With it on?
Yeah, with it on.
Oh,
on
that's sports, well, you're a pretty good, mode. You're a pretty good driver too, though. So I would imagine you can probably stay within the nannies.
Yeah, you have to actually really toss the car, do something really dumb to actually make the traction control interfere.
Well, I love that. Now, if you're going to make a driver's car and then handicap it with a bunch of stuff, it doesn't make sense to me.
Does it have all of the like electric nannies, like lane keeping assist?
Yeah,
it doesn't. So it has an electric power steering set up too.
Yeah.
Ooh,
oh,
how is that?
So
I think everybody does now.
The electric
part. Right?
Sorry.
Let's ask a question and then answer it.
I thought that Subaru didn't. Maybe the WRX or the STI didn't have.
There might be one left.
Maybe.
One lone wolf left.
Yeah. Anyway.
We're keeping our 997 forever for the hydraulic.
I know. That's why I'm keeping the Miata until I die.
I love the Miata, by the way. One drawback on this car is the electric power steering is actually a little. You could feel the bump steer, but it's a little overpowered.
Isolated.
I already wrote him a note on that, and I told him, what's the likelihood that it can change that?
I was going to ask you, is that the type of thing that it's software these days where they can kind of rewrite some ones and zeros and give us a little more feel?
Supposedly, yes, because all you have to do is actually allow more currents into the motor that actually drives the steering rack.
Now, this is interesting. Could we be getting into like a mod world where, we start adding feeling back into cars? We're like, you just change out the steering sensor motor to this upgraded one, and then all of a sudden you've got some weight back. Is that kind of where we're going with? Because that could get me interested in electric cars. Currently, my argument is that I don't enjoy the driving experience. But if there was a way to like somehow take a modern car and enjoy the modern driving experience.
Yeah. So
too deep? Sorry.
From their answers, they cannot do that right away. They
Got just it.
Cannot
okay.
reprogram it right Got away. It. Yeah. I mean, but
or they're not interested in doing that right now.
Yeah. And also the shifting feel is like, I wish you have a little bit more weight on the shift knobs. So when it goes into gear, it feels more cleaner. Just need to add more weight into it.
Just even a weighted knob type of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, just get like a wheel weight. And
so now we know what we're going to do. These
and
are the
zip
first
tie
things.
It onto your...
The first things we'll do to our Zs when we get them.
Right, but except like when you're talking about modifying in that way, like I need a computer degree. I don't know anything about computers. I can barely use my phone.
But I can screw a weighted knob on there like
the
best of no
can.
Problem.
You're right, I got that.
Just did it actually.
it's pretty awesome. It's very mechanical. The mechanical grips is really really high up there.
Computer what tires are on it?
Oh, that's horrible.
What are they? Are they all seasons? Do they come with all seasons?
It's a Trevor 340 tires. That's another thing I mentioned that they need to take it out. But the problem is most people buy the $39,000 car. You're going to change out the rim wheels and tires and suspension anyway.
Yeah. Probably. So you might as well. Yeah. I mean, that's what definitely like in the off-road world, people are like, I don't like those tires. I'm like, look, use those tires until they die and then get yourself something else
Bless
that you.
You
want. You know? Because you're going to wear them out and you're going to, even in the Z, like, you're going to go carve some canyons and you're going to kill your tires.
Why not wear them out learning the car?
Yeah,
that's what you want to do. Go find the line.
Find the line, and then you'll know when you get better tires on it that your line's going to be further away from you.
Yeah.
Your factory tire.
It's a great way to figure out your line of improvement,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I can go faster here with these tires. That's awesome. Yeah. Tires do make a difference.
That's right. Everyone knows that. Tires and
Excuse
stickers.
Me, Jay.
Yes. What's up, Producer Mike in Canada?
Would it be Mike? Can Producer Mike ask Sean a question?
Just sure. Do it.
All right,
you're the
cool.
Man.
My kid will kill me for not asking this question because I know that he would want to hear the answer. How would you compare the new Zed to the GTR?
It's hard because one's a four-wheel drive platform, one's a front-engine rear-wheel drive platform. But the Z actually in the future Okay, so right now a lot of people that's in the Infiniti world, this engine actually was born in 2015, so it's been around for a while, which is a good thing because a lot of kinks has been worked out, right? And so a lot of Infiniti guys are modifying this to be, with 91, they're actually running about 500 to 550 horsepower wheel. Yeah, with a flash, with a downpipe, with the exhaust. And the car's dot com was 400 already. When you get to that level of horsepower, okay, if you compare two cars, GTR is heavy on handling, it's four-wheel drive. The Z definitely is going to be much more nimble on a more twistier tracks like Street or Willow. But on Big Willow, it definitely has GTR's four-wheel drive system is still going to be,
The Z is significantly lighter than the GTR, too. Isn't it about 500 pounds lighter?
Yeah, but they're actually close to 170 pounds heavier than a Supra.
170 pounds?
Yeah.
But no kidding.
Between the automatic Supra and automatic Z, right? So, but if you actually go for a manual and the base model Z, the base model Z is actually about 100 some pounds lighter than the performance edition. There's only two, the base model and the performance edition. They call it the sports and performance. But because the performance edition comes with the leather seats, leather interior, 19-inch wheel, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. It adds the weight on there. So that's where the 100-pound difference comes in.
It's one of those ironic names.
Yeah. It's funny, right? Performance, actually.
I mean, so like, call it a premium package. That would make sense.
Yeah.
Power windows, air conditioning.
There's only two packages. One above that is called a Proto. Proto, they made it in yellow, 240 cars.
Oh, yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, I wanted one of those. That looked cool.
That was cool.
Those were gone before they came out.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, so there's no point in talking about it. Yeah.
You can't have this.
Do you have one? Do you know anybody who has one or is getting
one?
No,
I don't. I ordered a base model one. The only difference between a base model one and the performance one, which is, is the major difference is LSD. One comes with a clutch type factory LSD. It replaced those 370Z's viscous LSD. Then on top of that was just cosmetic. Leather interior, lit power seats, things like that. Hmm. And a better stereo system. That where you put spare tire, they have this big-ass woofer right in there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, seriously, like this big.
Wow.
Yeah.
Both. I mean, that's all the stuff I would take out, I guess, right?
Yeah, I know. Just
throw the spare tire back in there. Yeah.
So you buy a $39,000 car, and you spend about maybe $1,000 and buying either a Cusco or a Cos or an OS Gaikin LSD, drop right in. Anything from a 370Z part number will fit under this car. Just bolts right in.
That's awesome.
Is really amazing.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, then you also have a rear end that can take, I mean, the pumpkin itself will be able to take up to 500 plus horsepower.
Yeah, that's right.
Factory, I don't know, man. When you put more power, whether or not the OSD is going to be able to hold it, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait to see people blowing these things up because it's so easy to, get so much power out of turbocharged engines these days.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see what they're going to be making monster Zs and stuff like the monster Miatas. Remember in the old days?
Yeah, with the V8 stuff in there.
Cram a V8 in a roll bar and you're set.
You're like, we're going to die today.
Shoehorn. Oh my God. I never drove one of those. Did you?
Mm-mm.
I did.
You did?
The drop of Mustang 5.0 me.
Right. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. That's nuts.
It's nuts. Was it nuts?
It was fun.
It's basically a Cobra, right? You're basically making a little Japanese Cobra.
Yeah. But it was a very short wheelbase though.
Right. Think about. Good grief.
Yeah.
Now I want to see a monster Miata come up to Breakfast Club. Can we talk about your Miata for a second?
Yes, I'm happy
to. I have pictures
of
that, too.
I know, he's so good.
Let's see what we got here. All right, here's
so that's one. Buddy. That's awesome. So Buddy has...
Yeah, Buddy.
Buddy has whopping 27-inch tires.
Yeah.
He's got 5/38 in the rear, which...
Look at that spare tire.
Brings it. There's two there, that's why. There's two in the back. Here's the thing, though. If I get two flats driving a car that weighs 2,000 pounds, like, I'm an idiot. Like, I don't deserve to be driving that. But it looks really good.
It looks awesome.
But, yeah, so there's a company called...
And having a little weight over the back wheels is nice, I would imagine, right?
Yeah. It's fine. But also, the shocks that I have, I can't adjust the compression. And so it's constantly rubbing. And I've gone in and I've cut and I've hammered and I've done it. And I'm at a point where, like, I don't think I can go any further.
I was gonna say, it looks like you've cut quite a bit of material away as well.
I've cut a lot away. Well, the fronts I didn't really have to cut at all.
Just pull the fascia off, right?
The rear really needs.
Those BMW 3 Series wheel?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's totally an E30 wheel.
Yeah, they're bottle cut wheels.
Cool.
So.
Or E36 maybe. That's awesome.
So it's like 10 inches of ground clearance. It's better angles than a Jeep Wrangler Rubicon. I mean, like, amazing. It's stupid. And it's still just rear-wheel drive with a limited slip in the back. Now, a lot of people will weld it, will weld the diff, and I'm like, no,
you
I
don't
like turning.
Lock it up. Yeah,
I
exactly.
like turning.
How much power is in it? Did you change the engine at
all? Oh, no. I mean, there was. It's a 2001, so that was, what, 140 when it was new?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was 125 and then 140, right?
Yeah,
was that the bump?
It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. I would love to get a supercharger for it. The 538s kind of act a little bit like a low gear, so I can put it in first and that's like my climbing gear. But it's still not a lot of power. Oh. So I would like to put a supercharger in there just to get a little bit more on the low end.
Would it then make it undrivable though? Because I'm thinking like
I don't know.
Oh yeah,
I don't
only
know.
Want me to find out.
Yeah, I know. Let's take $2,000 and throw it into your car. but he's great. But his name is Buddy.
Yeah.
And Buddy is amazing. And everybody smiles when they see him. And I can't stop and get gas because I have to like spend 20 minutes talking about the car to everybody. Which is pretty
well, that's the problem with owning a friendly looking car is everybody wants to talk to you about the friendly looking car that they had when they were a kid or whatever.
Right,
whatever.
Right, right. Or they're just like, what is that? I'm like, it's a Miata. They're like, no, it's not. I'm like, And you know, just how like in the 60s and 70s and people started with the Baja Bug craze. I mean,
sure.
I personally think that the Miata is the next Baja Bug because it's lightweight, rear-wheel drive, and there's a million of them, and parts are easy, and they're easy to work on.
They're reliable, too.
And they're reliable, yeah.
I love that. And now that Myers-Menz is back, the Baja Bug is going to be like unobtainium. It's going to be
its
own thing. So let's go work on these. Plus, these are way more fun to drive.
Yeah, it's super fun. And so on Buddy, I have disconnected the front and rear sway bars, and it's still fun. It's still like
disconnect them or just dropped them off completely. Just took them off.
I took them all the way.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Because then
saved
I saved some weight. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So my weight savings are I took out the air conditioning, which sucks. I took off the whole soft top and everything, so it's just that bikini top.
Yeah, but that's part of the look. That's
I know,
part of
and
what
you
the
need
package.
To have a bikini top on there because it's too. It, without the air conditioning, it's just too hot to not have something.
Yep.
There's the aluminum door panels, which were in it when I bought the car.
That's one of my favorite parts.
Yeah, I know. It's really great. I would like to lose one of the spare tires and fab up something to bring a little bit of extra fuel because it's only an 11 gallon tank. And with the 538s, my gas mileage is gone.
One tire and some kind of jerry can would be cool. Yeah. That would be cool. And it would look badass too.
Yeah.
It really
completed. And it's also like necessary.
Some sort of a pickaxe and a shovel up there as
well.
Oh,
no, no,
I'm just,
no. Well, you've got it. You can see it in that one picture. There's the shovel and the Maxtrax. See?
Oh, yeah. There you go. Yeah. Okay. Perfect. Perfect.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I get stuck a lot in that stupid car.
Well, that's just it. You know,
you've got to
be practical.
All the time.
Got to be practical.
Buddy's great in like desert stuff and, you know, a little bit of uphill rock things, like not crazy ledges, but you know, like it can keep up with a lot of cars. But once it gets into soft sand, like you're done.
So you put huge wheels on it, but is it still the stock suspension? Even though you took
it's the stock arms.
Okay, but you have more travel
crazy.
There than
no, I have the stock amount of travel.
Oh.
So
okay, go but, on.
So in the whoops, it's pretty funny because it just will it. Part of the thing with the compression is that it's always scraping and then it's not very fast. People think he's super fast and I'm like, I mean, yeah, on a flat road, sure, he's super fast. But once you get into anything that's, you know, got a little bit of camber and stuff, you got to slow way down because there's like 8 inches of travel. And honestly, most of that is like droop travel. It's not up travel. So, but here's the thing. Okay. So the race car that I drove over somebody else in.
Yeah.
You know, since COVID, I haven't had a chance to race it that much. And that was really something that I did with my dad. And my dad recently passed away. And when I raced that one time, that was part of the reason why I was like having a terrible race because it was like not the same.
Oh,
you know?
I'm so sorry to hear that, by the way.
Thank you. But, you know, it was just like, oh, do I want to keep doing this without like that part of my life? So I'm thinking about selling it. Mm-hmm. And then taking the money that I get from that and then making Buddy into an actual, like, real race car. Because he would need a full cage and I would need to delete the dash and do a couple other things.
Work on that suspension a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's where I was going with
this. Potentially change the suspension.
So there's a company called Paco Motorsports, and that's where I got this original lift from. But he makes some extended arms, so you can get like 14 inches of travel. People put 31-inch tires on this
thing. I'm thinking that's what we need to do. this sounds so cool.
It does.
And then we'll bring them out a little bit too, and you're going to have a whole crawler.
Yeah,
it's going to be awesome.
Yeah. The only thing is that it takes it.
And you will need that supercharger.
A little bit not a Miata anymore because it takes it to a whole different level.
Is it now? Does it still drive like a Miata with those monster tires and everything?
Yeah.
Really?
It does.
Mm-hmm. Oh, all right.
I mean, a little softer.
I see what
sure.
I think of that.
A little softer and a little slower. But,
that's amazing. Yeah. So if you're not, the whole point of the Miata is the driving characteristics. You don't want to lose that.
Right. Hmm. But I mean, I don't know. That's kind of what I'm thinking is that, you know, if I had, you know, 12, 15 grand, whatever I can get out of the Volkswagen race car.
You want to billboard exactly what it is? What year is it? What's in it? What? Maybe you get a buyer.
Yeah. Well, it's a 2-seat 1600 with a low comp motor.
Okay.
I can't remember how many races it's got on it, but fairly new ring and pinion.
What year?
Fox. I mean, it's a tube chassis, so who knows? It was built by the Fab School.
Fair.
Yeah, I love it. No, I mean, it's a great little, like, you know, you want to race a couple times a year type of thing. Is it like a winning car? I mean, if you're faster than me,
but
sure.
If somebody wants to get their feet wet,
yeah,
in
you want to get your feet wet. It's a great car for that. You know, and it's a Volkswagen, so parts are expensive.
Just need a 90-pound mechanic.
And you need to have a 90-pound mechanic when you're set.
And then they should just contact you through Instagram or something.
Yeah,
say,
yeah.
Hey, I want to buy your car for a lot of money.
Sure, and I will say, great, because then I'm going to take all of that money and put it right into Buddy.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, so we'll see.
I'm sorry about your dad.
Oh, thanks.
How'd he go?
COVID, actually.
Oh, no.
I know, he was vaxxed and everything. And,
oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a bummer. It was a bummer.
Where did he live?
He lived in Mexico.
Oh.
Yeah, so I had to...
Everything's different there with the rules and...
Yeah, and they, you know, like I'm boosted all up with I'm Team Pfizer. And at the time, they down there, they just had AstraZeneca, which we didn't even get because it wasn't as good.
Right.
But that was all that was available.
Right.
So, yeah. So it was just like,
I felt like such a – I got that Johnson & Johnson because Justin Bell was here. And he's like, oh, just one, man.
Oh,
just
yeah,
go in there,
good.
Just get the one. He ended up having a stroke 2 days later.
Oh, my God, did he?
And everything else. Yeah.
Oh, no.
But then, of course, it turns out to be like the sham vaccine. Right. Of course, whatever. Like, God damn it. Whatever.
Yeah. So, you know,
I'm
but
sorry. That's awful.
It was, it really sucked. But, you know, what is great is that I got my love of cars from my dad. And he taught me a lot just about, like, you know, you're here on this planet for a small amount of time. And so, like, make the best of it and have as much fun as you possibly can. Right, Pompon? And so that's, you know.
That was a wise fella.
Right. Yeah. So you just, life is short. Cram it.
Did it take him dying for you to get there? Because you see, I mean, when I met you,
I've been there. I've been there for a really long time.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Probably since college I've been there.
Really? That's early, isn't it? I feel like most people don't know who the fuck they are in college. Sorry for
I mean, no, but in terms of just like, hey, let's like have a good time and like make the best out of everything.
Oh,
sure.
Yeah.
I mean, did I know what I was doing? No. But, you know,
but
in
you
terms
need
of
to follow
like,
the joy.
Yeah, life's philosophy.
Stay happy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
If
more of us would do that.
But like not in a cheesy way.
But a lot of people keep themselves from being being happy. A lot of people make themselves unhappy and don't even realize they're doing it.
It's crazy. And you from the outside, you're like, look at your life.
If you've done the work to pull yourself out of that, absolutely, then you can see it. You, buddy, you're one of the most positive people I know. You help the community in ways more than almost anyone I know. What's happening with you? What toy drives are coming up? How can we help with the winter drive? Like, what's happening with the Pierce Group these
days? Toy drive, we just locked in the date, December 10th this year.
Okay.
Yeah, so welcome everybody to come out to join us on the toy drive.
Still be City of Industry, or we don't know?
City of Industry.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh, that's right where my mom lives.
Really?
Yeah, she lives in Hacienda Heights. I guess I can say that.
Hacienda Heights, yeah.
What unit? What number?
She lives on. I know, because that's where I do my car swaps for CNET.
Oh.
Every week I come in and I swap cars for review for CNET.
They drop them off there for
you?
Yeah. I love that.
I know, it's so great. Like, here's your new car. Don't fuck it up. So
I love her.
So you organize like toy drives and stuff.
Yeah. So and we donated toys. I actually physically donate those toys to individual agencies.
Okay.
We work with all the way down to Mexico to Texas.
One of my favorite things to do in the holidays is like go to the post office and get the little like wish list off the tree or whatever, and you're like, so-and-so, you know, is a five-year-old boy, and he wants X, Y, and Z, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm so excited to do this.
This year, come on with it. We do delivery to Compton's and Inglewood, and we've been doing it for about 10 years.
Okay, I'll bring
it's
Buddy.
It's the biggest I've ever seen, and I mean, I don't know how to describe. You've broken world records and shit.
No, it was just fun. It was just fun.
Well, because you're doing it for the right reasons, but it's a big deal. I mean, the one we did a little annex of it to support his at Breakfast Club. Uh-huh. That was, we couldn't believe the turnout. We couldn't believe it.
It was amazing.
That's awesome.
We're gonna do it again this year.
You know. I hope you have a big band.
But this weekend does have something special. Sunday, I'm actually grand marshal for a Distinguished Gentleman's Ride. That's a motorcycle event that everybody dress up in suits and ties.
Ooh,
and ride motorcycles.
Wow.
But we got about.
And you're the grand marshal?
Yeah, I'm proud to be. You know, honored to be actually named as a grand marshal.
Do you ride as well?
I used to race motorcycles in the 90s, and I stopped because I...
Because with age comes the cage?
No. actually, what happened? Actually, on Willow Spring Turn 9, it almost killed me.
Oh.
And 140 miles an hour, it was a human tumbleweed.
Oh, my God.
Broke everything. And it didn't, 30 years later, I didn't get my... angle fix until recently.
Really?
So was it just whiz, like, buddy?
Just like walking along with like no flexibility?
Yeah. I was pretty much crippled all my life until I met this. I mean, I tried many different doctors, and I bumped into this miracle doctor, and he pulled me through huge amount of pain. And but I'm back
but
to like
therapeutic pain.
No, hell no.
No.
It's like taking a knife, cutting your own skin in deeper and deeper. And he does that for 30, 40 minutes.
In order to get the mobility back.
Yes. And it worked. Oh, well, after he does that, I'll be in pain for about a week because he actually altered your tissues and your nerves, right? So, but originally my doctor was going to, my doctor was at Cedars-Sinai. They were going to reconstruct my whole leg. So I can walk normal again.
You touched on this a little bit when you did the show, but then I didn't realize
level. My whole left foot angle was completely broken off.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's why.
Your foot was just like flopping around.
Yeah, but I passed out after I crashed.
Excuse me.
Yeah, I would hope you passed out.
No, so I was airlifted to the hospital.
Okay.
Yeah, I was there. So when I woke up, they actually showed me a picture. My whole foot was turning black from losing so much blood.
Oh my God.
There were some say amputated, but
that's what I would think.
Yeah, and
usually they do.
And luckily, I was on morphine. Well, that was like
I was on morphine.
Yeah, for a while, 1990s, man. I was a cool kid. What were you? I'm on morphine, man.
Yeah, I just press a button and I get a whole bunch of it. It's amazing. Yeah.
So I was on it for a while and to take away the edge out of it. And So I met a doctor like 2 years ago and I started going to him.
Uh-huh.
He's a Chinese acupuncture doctor, and he solves it for me.
Wow.
I'm back almost like 65-70%.
I would never know when you're walking around up at Breakfast Club or wherever in an event. I mean, you ride your scooter usually or something, but when you're walking around, I never would know.
Yeah, so it's, every time I host an event, I actually have to take a lot of painkiller before I take it.
Oh, really?
I can't stand up for too long.
Oh, so that explains it. You're so friendly all the time to everybody because you're high as a kite. that's a secret. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah,
so. I'm sorry that you have to do that. That sucks.
No.
I don't mean to make a fun.
No, of course not.
Make light of it.
Yeah. DGR is a special event. I mean, it's focused on men's mental health and also their testicle cancers and stuff like that.
Gentlemen, tell me what it is.
Distinguished Gentleman's Ride.
Distinguished Gentleman's Ride.
Yeah. We currently have about 500 riders already.
Oh, cool. And then all kinds of bikes?
All kinds of bikes. Yeah, so Triumphs, OC Triumph, Orange County Triumph, is actually sponsoring this event. So I will be riding a Triumph on that day.
And where do you guys go from?
The route map, you have to sign up to get a route map. I think it's from OC Triumph, the starting point. From there to go along PCH.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to end up at the place that, oh my God, I shouldn't know this. it's a very famous guy. It's something called Guacamole? Something, whatever.
Mexican restaurant.
It's a Mexican restaurant,
sure.
But it's owned by a famous guy. I forgot his name.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Mr. Guacamole.
But someplace down in Orange County, someplace.
Somebody down in Orange County.
Okay.
We're going to ride along the PCH and showing up up there.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, so right now it's about 500 bikes, and I think it's we might end up maybe between 600.
And this is a charity drive, a charity ride as well, right?
Yeah.
So how do people who might not even go on the thing, maybe they want to support the cause financially, how do they donate? They go to the website or something?
Yeah, so they can go to Distinguished Gentleman Ride. and there's many different. The cool thing about this is simultaneously they're writing it in the whole world all together.
Oh, yeah.
you're just a local chapter.
Yeah, so we're just California, Los Angeles, Orange County chapters.
Oh, that's so cool.
So simultaneously they're going to do it in London, New York, on the same day. It's crazy.
It's like bikes across the world, like yeah, with hands yeah, across yeah, America, yeah. except with motorcycles and around the world.
Up with people.
People are so great. Up with people.
I can't believe you get the reference and know the song.
I totally
got it. Oh, yeah. Oh, God, Sean, that's so cool. But you're asked to do this type of thing all the time. I mean, you are sort of a friend to the community, period.
Yeah. I'm proud to be there.
The toy drive is the biggest thing I can think of, but you always seem to be doing something. So
we just finished our supply drive for the animal shelter just on Monday. It was so random. It was just supposed to just like get a couple guys show up and collect some. They're actually euthanized dog and cats actually a lot earlier than usual. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you know, I did a very short post and live on Monday.
Hang on, you did an Instagram live.
Yeah. Guess how many dogs we saved.
I know the answer. Tell people.
Actually, we got more than that. So originally, there were supposed to be 53 dogs get euthanized by Thursday.
Uh-huh.
And it ended up, we got them all adopted within 2 days. Yeah.
That's amazing. I heard it was like over 60 dogs. That's
right
amazing.
Now, 68.
Unbelievable.
The final number was 68. So, but you know.
That would not be here today while we're recording this had it not been for that live you did on Monday. Yeah.
That is so cool that, I mean, most people share out a message and they use their social media platform to do something good like this.
Yeah.
And it's cool that they're able to know they are, by sharing messages out, they're making a change.
Yeah.
And you know, and this time is 60-some cats and dogs alive, and who knows what's next going to be, right?
Yeah.
So. That's so awesome.
Oh, I want a dog.
Oh, here we go.
No, I do. It's just hard. It's hard to have a dog.
You're on the road all the time.
I'm on the road, and I live by myself, so like it's not a thing. If I could have a dog where I knew I could take the dog with me everywhere, and it would like have a bandana, like we'd go on adventures and stuff.
Adventure
like,
dog.
Yeah, I want an adventure dog. Instead, I just have two asshole cats. So
this is adventure dog. This dog goes with Sean everywhere.
I know.
He's trying. Everything is so new to him right now. Like, he saw your cat. He's curious about the cat. He's just so curious about everything right now. And he's got tremendous amount of energy.
Yeah. New puppy energy.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's like, I want to just like draw his blood and see what's in there and see where'd you get your in. He doesn't sleep.
See, when I adopt a dog, it's going to be like, the dog's going to be like 7.
Yeah.
All right. Now's when we lay down and watch TV.
I'm gonna be a 7-year-old dog. And be like, I want to take care of you through your twilight years.
Yeah. He doesn't sleep.
Yeah. No. I like to sleep. So no.
He's like on something. I don't know, man.
How was Bobo with it? Well, he was, I guess, elderly too. So he would go. He would sleep a lot.
Bobo, when he was little, he wasn't as active. He's super active.
What kind of dog was Bobo though?
He was a cocker spaniel poodle. So cockapoo.
Cockapoo. Right.
Yeah.
Way too many weird breeds. Cockapoo.
But they're hypo, so they're not shitting.
Yeah.
That's a good thing about it. I mean, he likes trouble. When he gets in the car, he goes to sleep. Which
really?
Is a good thing. Yeah.
So you need that. You need a road dog who's going to either have his head out the window or go to sleep.
Yeah.
So he's actually really quiet in the car, which is excellent. Yeah.
That's so cute.
I don't know. I'm just dying. I can't look at that dog anymore. Just can't do it.
You can babysit him.
And you heard the story, so there's no way he's giving up that dog.
I know. That's okay. Like I said, jerk cats at home.
Oh, man. I love you both. I'm sorry this was a double episode, but I kind of really like these because it's really kind of fun.
No, it's fun because then, you know, like I get to meet somebody new.
Thank you.
Learn about somebody new and like, yeah, I dig it.
All right.
A+.
That's so sweet.
Oh man, you can see right to my moral fiber, can't you? Like, oh, some sort of reassurement.
We're gonna see you tomorrow morning anyway.
Yay!
Are you gonna come to Breakfast Club?
I'm gonna try.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
What car? You don't have the Z anymore, do you?
No, I don't have the Z anymore. Oh, they took it back. I was supposed to have the whole week, and Road and Track want to use it, so they
oh damn automotive journalists.
We are the worst.
Damn reviewers.
We are the worst.
Where do you is CNET where people can watch your?
Yeah. So CNET.com, and then just click on cars, and then all of our stuff is there. I don't know what my latest video.
I'm not sure what the latest video is that they posted, but we do have video of the Audi, and there's a story as well with the Audi. So that
and some moving shots, which is cool.
Yes, some good moving shots and everything. And then I know I'm going to be having Bronco Raptor, or sorry, F-150 Raptor videos coming up. But we're also getting to drive the new Bronco Raptor. Nice.
Everybody's got a Raptor.
Oh my god, I'm so excited about the Bronco Raptor. It's gonna be amazing.
Is it?
Oh yeah, it's gonna be great.
Oh, I have such high hopes. I'm afraid of being disappointed.
Well, I can tell you that. I mean, have you driven the regular Bronco?
Yeah.
Okay, so I was pretty impressed with the regular Bronco.
Okay.
I went pretty fast through some rough stuff and went up some, you know, pretty good.
The V8 or the. It's the super. Is it a supercharged six?
It's a turbo six.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But there's two models, aren't there?
Yeah. There's a 2.7 liter.
the one that should be a V8.
Isn't there a four cylinder?
So there's a four cylinder as a base one.
Yeah, and then there's the and then there's a
six cylinder twin turbo, right, which is the motor carry. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
And then speaking of, our producer Mike up in Canada there has one on order.
Congratulations!
Yay.
I certainly do. Hey, I need to know, Emmy, do I get street cred for having a two-door Outer Banks Sasquatch 2.3 liter coming to me? Do I get mad respect for that?
Yes. Yes. Because you have the two-door, number one, and the two-door is better because your breakover angle is better and nobody cares about the back seat anyway. So just take that whole back seat out and then you can use that to for more more cargo space and everything.
Cargo.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you got to put you got to put in your ARB refrigerator and all that other overlanding stuff.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
I mean, that's what people do. That's not what I do.
But he owns a financial firm. So I don't know. Are you going to be doing actual overlanding or are you just going to be driving it like urban commando?
Well, no, where I'm from in British Columbia, there's lots of dirt road, like mountain lakes and things like that. I'm not going to turn into a 4x4 guy. I'm just not that guy, but I just love the truck. And there's a nostalgic value to it because my dad drove a baby blue Scout for 25 years. Ooh, and it reminds me of my dad's Scout. So there's probably some subconscious Freudian shit there too.
Yeah. No, but I get it. That's going to be awesome. I hope you get it soon. I know one of my colleagues on Roadshow just finally got his. He ordered it like, you know, the day it was announced. And he finally got his this week.
Oh, wow.
I don't have a VIN number yet. I'm hoping by Christmas, but I think that's might even be optimistic.
But you've been waiting for a long time too, pal, haven't you? Hasn't it been a long time that you've been waiting for yours?
January. I officially ordered it in January.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
still, I would just be
in
like,
the old days, 5 months, you'd have your car by
now. Yeah, I know. I'm like, well, that's going to take too long. What else can I get?
Yeah, for sure. You could have had a Defender
by now. Hey,
let's
test the power of the late night playset right now. If anybody from Ford can get a guy a VIN number. Hey, thanks very much. Emmy, I'm also afraid I have one more question for you.
Okay.
The process of it's a short question. It's a yes or no kind of a question.
And he's Canadian.
Except
so
it starts with process.
He's Canadian, so it's process, of course.
Right, okay.
Yeah, okay. Look at those building bridges. The process. The process during the race in the e-car. Where the battery would switch out and stuff like that. This is a question of vocabulary. The question is this. Has it been considered to call it an e-stop or an e-pit? Is that the vocabulary? And is there a name for that process?
I don't know. I mean, I think they just stopped at their pits and swapped the batteries. I don't think that they were thinking of nomenclature at that point, because they're out there just with all of the regular cars, you know, and like the cars might be getting fuel and they're doing something else in order to get
the marketing guy up here is like, did they name it first and then?
I don't think so. And I mean, and those guys that I was talking about with the zip line, I mean, they're literally just dudes in their garage. Like they're not affiliated with any kind of manufacturer, although they should be because they're real smart. And
they
very,
may have figured
creative.
Out the new way to do it.
Fly you know, in. But manufacturers, they're not, I mean, we have decided apparently already that swappable batteries is not how we're going to build electric cars for whatever reason. I feel like it would be a good reason, but I mean, what do I know, right?
Well, it seems like more batteries isn't the answer to people for some reason. Like, oh, the batteries are hard enough to source or whatever. So it seems like they're against making more batteries for whatever reason. I don't know that. Yeah, I have no leg to stand on with that argument, but it seems like that's what
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, and I don't know the whole, I mean, I know that our supply chain and everything is all messed up now and all whatever is happening there, but whatever's happening there.
Plus politics.
Yeah. But
the fascination for me is the idea that something like the pit stop is evolving because the race is evolving, and I just find that fascinating. That's where that kind of came from.
Yeah, and I mean, the team had they showed up with their batteries already charged, but then you got to start thinking about, okay, if you're going to be charging batteries then in the middle of the desert, like, okay, well, now your options are you bring a diesel generator, which, nobody wants to do that.
Or solar, which is going to take...
Solar, which will take forever. Yeah. So when I was on the Rebel rally and we drove the R1T, the Rebel partnered with a company called Renewable Innovations, and they brought out a giant semi truck that had fast chargers in it that could charge up to, I think I saw over 200 kilowatts.
Holy
coming
crap.
coming into the Rivian.
Off a truck.
Yeah, off a truck.
That's not plugged in. I mean, that's a generator truck.
Yeah, well, see, and that truck can use hydrogen fuel cells to charge.
Oh, whoa, okay.
Yeah.
Well, we're just dripping a little bit of water. No
so
big
that
deal.
part is really cool.
That is amazing.
Because then you're not dragging a diesel generator, because then people who, you know, have a problem with EVs or, you know, for like, don't take away my V8. It's like, no one's taking away your V8. Trust me. It's not going to happen for a long time. You know, they're like, well, you just have to bring out a diesel generator, so it's not any better. And it's like, yeah, it's not a good look. Like, I get it. It's not a good look. But being able
but
to
hydrogen
but using a hydrogen different. Fuel cell.
It's different.
And you still have a battery vehicle. It's not powered. Your vehicle isn't powered by hydrogen, but the batteries are being charged with hydrogen, I guess, is how it works. So that's pretty cool, because then it's clean.
And they just literally off-gas some water, right?
Yeah,
like they just
drip
a little bit of water, I think, is all it is. That's crazy.
I'm not 100% sure, because I'm not.
That's wild.
But, yeah.
Well, now we're talking about maybe the future of, like, get that hydrogen power fuel cell into that Dakar thing, and then maybe we've got a...
Yeah, and then you just have the Hindenburg, and it's fine.
Oh, right. I forgot about that. Hydrogen, that hydrogen.
Although, Glickenhaus, who does, you know, these really ridiculous sports cars and track cars, but also has done a version of Steve McQueen's Baja Boot. Mm-hmm. And they, I'm not going to lie, kicked Ford's ass in the Baja 1000 a couple years ago when Ford brought the first Bronco. Ford didn't actually finish, but the Boot did, which was pretty amazing. Oh, yeah. Ford doesn't like to talk about that, but they did not finish.
But that was the baby Bronco, right?
No, it was a real one.
Oh, it was.
It was, okay. But it was before the big one came out.
Okay.
So anyway, so Glickenhaus has built that, and I think this year, I've seen renderings of a hydrogen-powered off-road car. Now, whether that's I think it's actually a hydrogen fuel cell, because you can fill up a hydrogen car as the same amount of time that it takes for gas, right?
To be clear, like a hydrogen fuel cell is not the Hindenburg.
I know. I understand.
The Hindenburg's like.
I know. But every time
it'd be like
people
filling
say,
your
like,
car cabin with nitrogen.
But
you know?
I just keep thinking like, oh my God, what if like the whole thing just explodes? And I guess I've seen that video too many times.
You're right about that, but I think about the battery fires and everything. We're all just substituting one flammable explosive thing for another.
I mean, because that's what the boom makes the car go. So you have to have the boom to make the car go. And whether you're doing it this way or that way, it's something's going to explode. So. But yeah, so Glickenhaus is doing that. Whether or not it's going to be at the Baja 1000 this year, I don't know. But that should be pretty interesting, because, you know, the problem with an electric car in a race situation is the charging. You can't do it. But with hydrogen, that's a really quick fill up.
Yeah. I like it.
But I don't know what the efficiency is, so I'm not sure what that is.
They did a comparison to electric cars. Hydrogen vehicles, like, it's pretty bad. I think electric is like 50-60% returns their energies. And hydrogen is like right around about like 40-ish.
Wow.
But normal petrol engines, it's around about maybe 30-ish.
Yeah.
So it's better than petrol engines, less efficient than the electric engines.
Yeah. Well, and when we were doing, keeping track of all of our mileage in the R1T, we were getting in the dirt like probably 2.5 to 3 kilometers per kilowatt hour. Or no, miles per kilowatt hour. And then when we drove the new Hummer, which is a
the crawler
electric vehicle,
electric thing,
which is, I mean, it's anyway. when we were on the dirt, and that we were getting less, I was getting less than a mile per kilowatt hour.
Oh,
like, it's so inefficient. Not that I expected anything different.
I mean, from a Hummer, really?
But you're just like, because there comes a point where it's like diminishing returns for how heavy your vehicle is. And it's like, I mean, yeah, there's a 200 kilowatt hour battery, but like,
I haven't seen that thing in person yet. Is it as big as like...
Oh, it's giant.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Okay. It's giant. And the truck, speaking of spare tires, the truck does not come with a spare.
What? Well, neither did the old Hummers. They were reinflatable. That was a whole, the whole apparatus. You could get a flat tire and it would reinflate itself.
No, it's actually got donuts right inside of it. It's got a solid wheel.
Oh, in the new one?
No, the old one.
Oh, the old one. Oh.
Yeah. So
so that little thing, that little gas thing, that wasn't actually...
So let's call it CTIS, Central Tire Inflation Systems. So that simply actually puts air in a tire or release air from the tires when you go to different terrains.
Yeah, so the Audi Dakar vehicle has that.
Yeah.
No,
so they can
kidding.
Just push a button and...
That's amazing, instead of getting out and...
Exactly.
Yeah. So imagine the wheel. This is the rims, right? Inside of the... So outside of the tire, inside of actually a solid rubber around the rims itself. So in case of a blowout, So that's why every...
So you could drive on the rim no matter what.
Yeah.
Wow.
And there's also these things
every
called tire balls.
That.
They're like little
Tell me more.
I know. They're like, I mean, the tires and balls. They're, I don't know, they're like this big or something. And you put them in the tire and then mount that on the rim.
Oh.
And then that way you still have some inflation.
And they're almost, that's interesting.
Yeah.
They don't work like ball bearings in there
I
somehow.
Don't think
they
so.
Get the tire running around the rim.
I don't think so.
Did you ever go to a what do you call it? Is it Top Fuel dragsters, like a NHRA race?
I mean, I've seen those, and your ears almost fall off.
Yeah. My dad used to take me to them when I was a kid, whatever. But I was amazed that the back wheels, the back tires and wheels on those dragsters are like drywall screwed through the rim into the rubber because there's so much horsepower. The rim would spin and the tire would stay put. So in order to get, you know, those burnouts and everything, they literally have like 30 drywall screws into the rubber.
I wonder if that's the same thing with beadlocks now.
It's got to be the same. It was old school beadlocks. It must be exactly that, yeah.
Yeah, that's funny.
That's hilarious.
I don't know.
I love you both. I want this to go on forever, but we've gone long. We're so long. Come back. Both of you come back.
Okay.
We'd love to.
I mean, I know there's more stuff to talk about. I know it.
Me and her is going to hang out. Next time she comes to City Industries, I'm going to hang out. I'm going to have lunch with her.
Yeah,
please.
Totally. Well, I got to bring the Miata. So you know what I have parked outside? Is I have a Mazda Speed Miata.
Oh, that's cool. Ooh. That's rare. That's turbocharged.
Yeah.
From the factory, 7 pounds of boost.
That's 2.0 too.
It's not. It's 1.8.
It's 1.8?
Yeah,
okay.
It's 1.8. But yeah, it's like 175 horsepower.
And weighs nothing.
Watch yourself.
And a 1.8 weighs nothing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, wasn't the original Miata 1.8?
The original was 1.6. For like 1 or 2 years or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they went to the...
What year is yours?
My Mazda Speed's a 04.
Yeah, buddy.
Oh, yeah, but Buddy is a 01, and then the Mazda Speed's an 04.
Oh, they're both yours?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
So I get to open up my garage to the perfect, like, one's up here and one's down here, and they're both second gens, and I'm like, oh, I love you guys.
Aww. But the yin and yang of what you can do with them.
I know, it's amazing.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's why I like those cars, 911s, like, they're kind of just little personalities, like blank canvas personalities.
Yeah.
You can kind of make them whatever you
exactly.
want.
Exactly.
I like the ones where the cars match the owners.
That's cool. Have you guys ever been to Mazda Corporate Secret Garage?
Tell us more, Sean.
Dude, it's amazing.
How do we get in there?
Oh, I'll make a phone call.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Dude, there are so many amazing things in there.
We're going.
I died.
There was a period where I was really into Mazda. When the last generation RX-7 was out, man, I was into that hardcore Mazda at that period. I don't know why. I thought that car was awesome. I still do. I still think it's fantastic.
It's a fantastic car.
Have you ever met Rob Dom?
Yeah.
That does all the... He puts rotary engines
four
in
rotors.
Everything.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You should have him on the show. He's great.
Rob Dom.
Yeah. D-A-H-M, I think.
That helps so much.
Yeah, he builds he took RX-7, builds a four rotor motors in there. It sounds like the 787 on the street.
Oh, my God.
Sounds like the Le Mans winning Mazda. Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Whoa.
He recently went on Hoonigan's YouTube channel and did a race with his own RX-7 against Hoonigan's Hoonahorn.
Yeah, and he did not win, but he did not lose by much. And I think the reason he didn't win, if I recall correctly, was like his hood came off or something ridiculous like that. Yeah, like There was a
not even you weren't fast enough. Like
something
happened.
No, it was a Code Brown moment that happened.
Code Brown.
Code Brown, we're gonna die. Code Brown.
I've never heard that.
You haven't heard Code Brown?
No, I'm not a real race driver like you are. I'm just a fucking poser. And I've not had that many Code Brown moments. I guess I'm lucky. I caught myself
Maybe
lucky.
Maybe you need to push your car a little bit harder.
Oh, no.
Oh. No, challenge accepted.
Oh, no. Yeah. I think we're at our limit for what she can take, and maybe me too. The car's faster than I am, that's for sure.
We can pick a date. We all go to K1.
Oh, I love that. Yes. She used to love that.
I love
that. She's probably still got her license and some races.
You know, I have a friend that she is in a wheelchair, and she races as well, and she's got these really great hand controls. I can hook you guys up.
Oh, that would be cool.
That would be great.
I will hook you guys up because she's – and they can like – they just go into any single car. She carries them around with her, and they get into any single car.
Seriously?
Mm-hmm.
That's so bizarre.
Awesome. Yeah, her name's Kara Berend.
No, I mean the fact that you could just take it with you and go
yeah,
into it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it just like, boop.
Wow, that's so wild.
Yeah. Like, easy accessibility. It shouldn't have to be expensive. Everyone deserves to drive.
Yeah, she was not good at it when she used to drive.
Hang on. Nicole, were you a good driver?
No.
Oh, okay. Then that's fine.
I'd like to go fast, but I had no understanding of anything around me.
She would have a lot of accidents. She hit the garage, the same garage, many, many times. Like, it was a lot of repeat offenses.
I mean, she's consistent. Like, imagine less corners. Right?
Imagine.
Yeah, she hits her apex every corner.
Yes. If we could just get it good once, then we could replicate it forever. I don't know. It was the garage. It was the garage in
that
Venice place.
You got
that
look. Oh, my God. After we leave, my God, this might be a crime scene. She gave you that look like, oh, why you say things like that?
She's never had to drive to an accident site to come pick me up or work my shit out, whereas I have had to do that with her. So, you know, I think the fact that she doesn't drive and that she's a great passenger these days is probably better for both of us, is my point.
I would have to agree.
She's
a great passenger. Everyone needs a navigator. Drivers are nothing without their navigator.
I'm not one.
None of that.
I'm really trying to be
that
helpful
would be awesome.
Here.
I appreciate it. You can stop.
Gosh, I'm trying to wrap it up again. All right, this is the part where generally we say thank you for being here. So thank you for being here, and we say what are we plugging? How do we plug you? Where do we follow you? And how do we plug you?
So Emmy Hall. All my stuff is at cnet.com. Click on cars.
Or Emmy
on the Instas. I'm usually on Instagram. I'm on Twitter, but not that much.
Me too.
Yeah.
Like not at all.
Yeah. No.
I don't think the app's on my phone.
Yeah. So Instagram, Emmy.
YouTube channel? No, it's cnet. All your YouTube stuff.
Yeah,
I mean,
all of that stuff's on cnet, okay, so you can get to it through there.
What about you, Mr. Lee?
Simple. PureScoop, PureScroup on the IG. And Facebook.
Yeah, you got your own personal Sean Lee as well.
Yeah, there's no point.
He's like, I don't want anyone to follow that, but they keep following it.
I don't.
That's just pictures of me and my dog.
It is. But you go live on that one sometimes too, and
apparently that's getting a lot more traction, which is something I don't like because I read that people follow PureScoop because that's more focused on the charity.
Yeah.
And me as a person who's leading that.
That's why you have to change your name. You have to do a secret name. I have a secret Facebook name.
Oh, what's that?
I'm not telling you.
Oh, you mean to be on there just as yourself? We had that.
I have a secret. That way, if you have to actually know me in order to find that. And then there's an Emmy Hall Facebook page that like people that I don't know can follow.
Can follow, sure. Yeah. They just want to keep up with your...
Yeah,
your...
and that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
but
fun.
I appreciate all my friends follows me around.
There's also a Pon-Pon. The Pon-Pon Lee.
The Pon-Pon Lee.
Yeah.
We're trying to document where he goes.
Follow that.
Yeah.
And all his good charity work that he's doing.
He's going to make a lot of kids happy this year because... You know,
I didn't notice his little white chin toe right now. That was adorable.
Yeah, this is a Shelby Stripes.
Oh, I didn't notice that. They're on the underside. They're on the underside.
Yeah.
Does it go all the way?
It's all the way to the Vipers. It's like a Viper.
Oh, that's amazing. All right, you guys are both great. We'll see you tomorrow at Breakfast Club, it sounds like. That'll be really fun. And some Friday morning when you're not doing anything, you'll come up the mountain.
I know. How early is it, though?
It's whenever you want. It's all morning long. There's no time.
But it's morning. Morning to me is like starts at 10 o'clock.
Fine.
Okay.
Well, I mean, we're up there till 2 generally. I mean, it kind of goes till noon, so.
Okay. Yeah, I would love to. And
but
the fact
no
that
pressure.
I actually have the Mazda speed would be great, but I have promised my mom that I would help her around the house.
Oh, I don't mean tomorrow. I mean someday.
I'm just saying that's why I wouldn't, because I would go to, because I know I talked to Lynn and she wants to go and I think she might be bringing
Monty.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, that should be interesting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was like, can he make it up the hill? Lynn, I love you. You're my favorite.
I love her.
Lynn Woodward. Love Lynn Woodward.
But seriously, the Breakfast Club has some amazing people.
I mean, yeah, no, I've heard fantastic things. So normally I live out in Yucca Valley.
Yeah.
So it's just hard for me to get.
Well, that's really far, Yucca Valley.
Yeah,
oh my god,
that's far.
She's really far.
So why were you here today then? Were you just in LA?
Yeah, mostly because I'm helping my mom do stuff around the house.
Oh,
for
good.
A couple of days, yeah.
Wasn't yeah. just for this.
No, please, for you guys, forget it.
We've had people fly in from Australia twice.
No, and, come on.
And Belgium once. Yep. And
London.
And London. We've had a bunch of people fly in for the show just wow. for this. And we were like,
what?
Like, are you disappointed? Like, when you get here, like, did you have any idea it was going to be in this little tiny apartment?
And also Breakfast from
Club.
Canada,
yeah, international.
Jay.
Yeah.
They come from everywhere. Say it again, Mike.
Canadian also Mike. From Canada, sir.
Oh, obviously. Obviously.
America's hat.
You work here, though, so you don't really count. All right. That's it. That's it. We love everybody. I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's happening because it's not on the blue card. We totally missed Beverly Glenn last week. I thought it was going to be we were a week early and we're a week late, so we screwed it up. I don't know what's happening this weekend, but Breakfast Club is happening tomorrow, so we'll see you there. Other than that, Emmy Hall, Sean, Lee, Pon Pon, love you all.
Yay!
All right? Thanks so much for being here. I love you. We all love you out there. Please love one another, and we'll see you next week. Right?
See you.
We covered everything, right, Mike?
All right. And then some.
Love you,
then
mean
some.
Bye.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Do we get this in a bear commercial again? I want to see that bear commercial again.
Is that a bear commercial again?